So I think I finished up to text number 6, I think. 7 I was just beginning. So I'll give a quick few minutes revision of what we did till now. We are in this very important chapter, Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter. Somebody may have a question. If bhakti is all that is, the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures, then why did Krishna not stop the Bhagavad Gita with the 12th chapter? But the 13th to 18th chapter is to help the devotee endeavor in the material world. Because sometimes in the path of bhakti, we may overly depend only on mercy and not do one's endeavor. So in the path of bhakti, is endeavor necessary or one should depend on mercy? What do you think? Both are required. So when Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, it was 2 inches too short, which indicates that we should endeavor also. At the same time, we also should not become proud that by my endeavor I will achieve everything. Because if you see, in the path of jnana, yoga and bhakti, there is a big difference. Although the yogi may also meditate on Vishnumurti in the heart, Vishnumurti form, and a bhakta may see the deity of Vishnu in the temple. It is in one sense the same, in another sense different. Prabhupada writes in one purport of Bhagavatam, when a devotee of the Lord takes darshan of Vishnu in the temple, he has already achieved the status of a yogi who is seeing the Lord in the heart by meditation. He says, in that sense it is same, but in another sense it is different. How it is different? A yogi depends more on introspection, contemplation and control. What is introspection? He makes a self-assessment and he also introspects about what desires are going on in my mind and how can I remove my material desires and how can I control my senses, how I can capture my flying mind. So can you sense some amount of control in these words? You can sense it? Correct, no? So this is the mood of who? Ashtanga Yogi. Whereas Bhakti Yogi means, my dear Krishna, please help me. And they help me to endeavor more. Let me love you. Let me serve you. Let me become your devotee. I am insignificant with my, my only qualification is I have received some, Hari Guru Vaishnava Association. In that I am trying. So the bhakta's mood is different. That is why sometimes the bhakta may depend overly on mercy. Then actually the endeavor is required. So Krishna wants to enlighten his devotee about the material world. So in the 13th chapter onwards, 13th to 18th, if you see, he's talking about the upside down tree in the 15th chapter. Reflection and everything. So this section is jnana section. But this jnana is given for us to intensify our bhakti. Bhaktiya tu ananyaya shakya ahameva mudarjuna, Krishna also says that. So, these few verses, Krishna told about how this universe is created and everything. We discussed elaborately. So, and then Sarva Yonishukaunte and all that he said. Then he began talking about the three modes in this few verses. So, in the last verse, we discussed about this. Sixth verse, we discussed about the sattva-guna. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukasangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga. He says. And then we are going to seventh verse now. So Krishna said two things. Sukasangena, jnana sangena. He said two things. See, out of the three modes, goodness is the best. Because in the mode of ignorance, one is helpless because of all kinds of lower habits. Can some of you tell me some of the qualities of people in tamaguna? Especially, not just exactly what the Bhagavata says. Bhagavata says three things, you all know. Nidra, alasya, pramada. But on a practical level, what qualities symptomize a person in tamaguna? Tamaguna means ignorance. Yes, Prabhu?
Useless activity, no,
substance. Okay. Engaging in you, some example you can give.
For example, people throw stones on the road. Sometimes seen just in a playful mood.
Uh-huh. Actually, it is indeed true, but this is a sign of somebody who is mad. Huh? Like you see a bum or somebody in the lying on the road. When he talks about Tamaguna people, there are very distinct characteristics given, like they are confused, they postpone, they always have a tendency to postpone things, they always are confused, they are panicky, they are fearful, they are always anxiety ridden, they worry about the past, worry about the future, and also they are insecure, they are pessimistic, hopeless. See, these are the words about Tamaguna. And they also are unclean. They keep their room unclean. They have a tendency to always keep things very littered here and there and keep it very unclean. Similarly, they wear same dress for 6 months, 1 year. They don't wash it unless everybody starts saying that, oh, this, your socks is stinking. Hey, your jacket is stinking. Please change it. So, like once Prabhupada, this reminds me of Prabhupada, once Prabhupada went into one washroom in West, and Prabhupada was telling that, hey, this is so unclean. And the devotees were saying that, well, we never thought it is unclean. Prabhupada said, because the tamaguna means you don't realize it is unclean. When somebody in sattvaguna can only tell a tamaguna person that this is unclean. Correct, no? Like, you know, somebody is wearing a very dirty cloth. You've seen sometimes. Extremely dirty cloth. But a person who is wearing a dirty cloth often doesn't realize he's wearing a dirty one. Unless somebody sees and tells. Hey, it is so dirty. Huh? So, in this way, dirtiness. And another thing I told you, insecure means making unhealthy comparisons. Feeling oneself. Insecurity leads to depression in the heart. Like, for example, if some failure comes in life, then one will go into depression. That is also a sign of tamaguna. Pessimistic, hopeless, postponing, confused, anxiety. These are the lakshanas of a person in tamaguna. Actually, they think someone else's success is my failure. They think like that. And someone else's failure is my success. If they think somebody else whom I am thinking as my competitor, they fail, then I feel happy. Or if that person has hurt his leg, broken his leg or something, one may think, at least he broke his leg. One feels happy like that. So this is also coming in insecurity. So these tamaguna symptoms of a person. But in general, tamaguna people are helpless means what? They are not in control of their senses. They are not in control of their mind. They are not in control of their life. They are being tossed like a football here and there, not having any control. Like I told you about postponing, sometimes a person in tamaguna may postpone indefinitely. He has no deadline to be achieved. And he keeps on postponing. And also, he makes a plan and he breaks it. He doesn't follow it at all, like that. So in this way, so these are some practical symptoms of a person in tamaguna. See, nidra, alasya, pramad, three things are said. So, alasya is against rajaguna, correct? Rajaguna is passion. Alasi is what? Laziness. So, laziness is opposed to being active. So, it's opposed to rajaguna. And pramad is madness. It is opposed to sattvaguna. You are right. Sattvaguna means wisdom. Opposite of wisdom is madness. So, nidra, alasya, pramad. Alasya opposes rajaguna. And pramad, madness, opposes sattvaguna. And nidra opposes both. Rajaguna and sattvaguna. And sleep. I got one shloka by Tulasidas. You want to hear it? One interesting verse. He says, Ram naam me alasi, bhojan me hoshiyar, Tulasidas kare, bar bar dhikkar. He says, nice verse, no? I noted it because it's easy to remember verse. He's saying, Ram naam me alasi, he says. You all know what is alasi. Nidra alasya pramad. Alasi means laziness in chanting the holy name. And bhojan me होशियार. सो भजन में आलसी भोजन में होशियार इधर से. एंड देन तुलसीदास कहे बार बार धिकार से. ओ इज धिकार मीन्स डैम इट यू नो डैम इट आर कंडमिंग ऑन सेल्फ लाइक दैट. सो दैट इज आलसी पन. आलसी पन एवरीबडी नोस. फॉर एग्जाम्पल स्लीपिंग टू मच. Like if somebody can sleep 6 hours, 7 hours, if somebody sleeps 8, 9 hours, or sometimes somebody sleeps in the daytime 2, 3 hours, those are considered tamaguna. See, the reason why we are discussing these things, the entire talk about the three gunas has got to do with our habits. So when we hear about these natures, we will see that we have some amount of passion, some amount of ignorance, some amount of goodness. Now, if you see which one is predominating in us, by these qualities we can understand. So that's why we are learning it. And then, in case we find certain symptoms of tamoguna, then what we do? You remember that formula Bhaktivinoda Thakur said? Curb ignorance, diminish passion, enrich goodness. Somebody can repeat it?
Curb ignorance.
Curb ignorance. Curb means what? Finish it, destroy it, he says, yeah.
Diminish passion.
Diminish means what?
Reduce.
Yes. See why? Because passion means somebody is driving car at 120 km per hour. You tell him, diminish passion. Drive it at 80. You know? That's diminish. And also drive it in the right direction. Imagine somebody has to go to Bombay, but right now he is speeding up the car. Hey, bahut late ho raha hai. He is going towards Dound very fastly. So first thing you will tell him, first you slow down, wait a minute. And then take a U-turn now. Dound is this side and Bombay is that side. Correct, no? Isn't it? You slow down your speed, take a U-turn and go to Bombay. So, of course, we don't say you stop your car. You have to be active. But you diminish your passion. And then enrich goodness. Enrich goodness. So, Nidra Alasya Pramada. Yeah.
Also, this passion can be doubted. No? So,
yes. That's why it's diminish. Because passion is not supposed.
Passion is not good.
Yeah, correct. No, if you completely curb passion, then one will be ignorant only.
Yeah.
Because the alasi is opposed to being active. Correct, no?
Like we need a passion for preaching.
Yes. So that we can spiritualize passion.
Yes.
But we cannot spiritualize sleep. That's why Bhaktivinoda, all the Goswamis slept only very little. How many hours Prabhupada says in Yuktahara verse? Anybody remembers?
2 hours.
Yeah, 2, 2.5 hours he says. Of course, we are not expected to sleep so less. When we attain our spiritual bodies, we can, you know, like our Goswamis, we can do that. But at the moment, we are all, Prabhupada says we can sleep 6 hours. Six and a half hours. You know? But sometimes people sleep in the day also when there is nothing much to do. Correct, no? Yeah.
Correct.
So, purification of sleep. Oh, beautiful question. Actually, those are series of sentences. Prabhupada says, one who is pure in mind can concentrate on the holy name, he says. And who is a person pure in mind? And then he answers, one who is pure in eating, sleeping and mating is considered pure, he says. And then who is a person pure in eating, sleeping and mating? You know, one who is pure in habits, he says, and then he is saying eating, sleeping, mating. And then he says that each of the habits, ahar, shuddha, sattva, shuddhi, you know, that is for eating. Similarly, purifying sleeping means sleeping to get energy to serve Krishna. That is purified sleeping. Like sometimes, you know, I remember we would sleep at 11, 11:30 sometimes. And morning, 3 o'clock, you feel very weak. But if somebody is fanatically trying to get up at 3, like when I sleep at 8, I get up at 2, you know. When I sleep at 8:30, I get up at 2:30. 6 hours full, I take rest. But sometimes we get a greed. I will sleep at 10, get up at 3. 1 hour I'll cut. But then that day's japa becomes, you know, very pathetic. We are dozing in japa. So that's why we should see, sleeping also should be done for Krishna's service. Say somebody is taking full rest, 6 hours of rest. And then take a fresh bath and now your chanting is very good quality. That is sleeping for Krishna. Yeah. Similarly, you eat, like for example, you're eating prasadam and that prasadam should give energy to serve Krishna. Imagine somebody liked pulao, kadhi, rasamalai, everything. Some feast was happening. And they ate so heavy after the prasad, they're getting chakar. You know, correct, no? So we generally don't keep class after the prasad. Correct, no? In those days, we used to have before. Because after the heavy feast, you know, one gets very dizzy. That means the energy he is getting through prasad is not helping him to serve Krishna. Rather, it is knocking him down. That means it is overeating. Understand? So how can we know whether a person is overeating or not? If after eating prasad, if one is very fresh, then it is eating for Krishna. Correct, no? So we can sleep for Krishna, we can eat for Krishna. Correct, no? Even one can mate for Krishna also. How? One has a desire. I want to get a son and I want to make him study Bhagavatam nicely. And in future, I would like him to recite Bhagavatam very nicely. One wants to get a child. So I want to, you know, get a daughter who will be very wonderful in her qualities like Lakshmi or Saraswati or Radharani, like that, you know, you think about. So one is already aiming, even before the child has come in the womb, one is thinking, I will make a son or a daughter like that. So then one can mate for Krishna also like that, correct, no? Similarly, one can defend for Krishna. Arjuna, fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, is defending for Krishna. So these activities can be spiritualized, all of them. But laziness cannot be spiritualized. Somebody is lazy, all day he is not doing anything. Why are you not doing? I am lazying for Krishna. Can you say like that? We cannot be lazying. Isn't it? That is why he says curb ignorance. Similarly, one cannot say that I am smoking and drinking for Krishna. See, although Prabhupada said that if you are drinking a mug of liquor, you think that the taste of the liquor is Krishna. But that Prabhupada did not tell devotees. Some devotees were asking, did Prabhupada say that? And then seniors told them, that's not for you. Although you were drinking before. Those are drinking for them, he said. Now you can drink milk and think, this taste of milk is Krishna. Like that you can think. Correct, no? So, in this way, Nidra alasya pramada. This lower tendency should be curbed. Ignorance is the worst, actually, considered. Because in ignorance, a person is mad and he doesn't make any progress. So in passion, you will see, like I told you, a lot of qualities of ignorance. Let us take a revision now. Quickly, who can recollect some of the words I used for mode of ignorance? One devotee should say only one, okay? Procrastination means postponing, okay? Yeah. This is a very famous one because we all do that. We experience of that. Great. There are a few people who fanatically make a deadline and finish off the thing, you know. We postpone, okay?
Unclean,
very good.
Laziness.
Laziness, yes. Mataji? Helpless, yeah. Helpless, yes. Helplessly carried away. By the way, another thing, one important thing I forgot, the person in ignorance, he doesn't hold any opinions. And he doesn't stand for anything in life. He will get carried away if some Guruji comes and says, form community is everything, you know. And he will say that form is everything. And next day somebody says, Buddhism is everything. Then he will say, Buddhism is everything. He gets carried away, swayed by different opinions like that. He doesn't stand for anything. So he gets carried away. That is one reason why he cannot do anything tangible in Tamaguna like that. And one is helplessly carried away, it is said. What else? Anything else you all remember? No, different. Those who haven't spoken.
Insecure.
Insecure, very good.
Confused.
Confused means what? Indecisive, we can say also. He said, no, Arjuna, Naichat, what is that? Naichayetat vidmah katarano gariyo yadva jayema yadivano jayeyu yaneva hatvartha jijivishama tevastita pramukhedartha rashtra. There he is saying, oh, I am indecisive, Krishna. Unable to decide. Some people will ask, Prabhuji, what I should do? Should I eat one more chapati or stop now? Should I take engineering or should I go for M.Tech or MBA? And people ask like that, no? Generally, we used to tell the benefits of both and then tell them, now you decide now. You know? They're indecisive. So confusion, indecision is also counted in Tamaguna. What else you remember?
Worry about past and future.
Worry may bury you, they say, no? Or worry is like a rocking chair. Rocking chair means, you know, you keep worrying, you never get ahead. You are stuck there.
Hopeless.
Yes? Hopeless. Very true. Very pitiable, no, to hear about Tamaguna, isn't it? So, if we have any of these symptoms, we should make a note and we should try to get rid of them. So I have one bad, one of the elements of tamaguna, which is every time I make my room very orderly, within next 3-4 days everything becomes disorderly. Paper, books here, clothes here, and everything. Anybody such experience? Anyone?
Slow,
huh?
You are very slow. 3-4 days, we make in 3-4 hours.
So when I, actually anybody can say why we should not litter everything everywhere? Why should things be orderly? Somebody can challenge you, you know, like that. Pauji, this is the way I am. Somebody can say, no, yes? Anybody has an answer for this? Yes? Oh, yeah, that is true. That is true. A cluttered room creates a cluttered mind. Also. So, a place for everything and everything in its place. So, we should have place for everything. Nowadays, slowly I am working on this. I have place for keeping my tilak box. I have a place for keeping my toilet when I'm traveling, you know. So, my assistant devotee also knows where to get what he knows exactly. Yeah. So,
systematic world. So
yeah, correct.
It should be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So most of it you all recollected, I believe. Huh? Most of it. So
unclean
is also covered. And Rajoguna, which we are going to, we are talking now, just now. See text number 7.
Rajoragatmakam Vidhi.
तृष्णा
संगसमुद्भवम्
तन्निबध्नाति
कौन्तेय
कर्मसंगेन देहिनम्.
See, रजः राग आत्मकम्. Oh, it is born of intense desire, is telling. Yeah, intense desire. Raga means intense desire. And तृष्ण संगसमुद्भवम्. Udbhavam means to be born. Trishna Sangha means hankering. See, the desire develops into hankering. See, desire means, you know, I want this. And hankering means, oh, I cannot live without it. Desperate desire is actually called hankering, like that. And then tat nibadnati. And that binds the person, is telling Okaunteya. Karma Sangyan Dehina. So karma sangena means attachment to things which we already have. That is karma sangena. Trishna sangha means hankering for things which we don't have. So these are symptoms of rajaguna. So first talking about raga, desire, leading to trishna. So there is one tattva explained in South India in Sri Sampradaya. Krishna Trishna, they call it. Tattvam, they call it. So Krishna Trishna means if one has thirst for Krishna, then the thirst for accumulating things of this world will reduce. See, if you see the modern day lifestyle, generally everybody is teaching their dependents two things only. How to do sense gratification and how to accumulate more and more material things. These two things are very, very common. Even the families which are so-called pious, even they also talk about these things only. So, sense gratification is characterized by what all? Like for example, having the status symbols of having a bungalow, having a car, having the TV, and accumulating commodities. And foreign chants. So these kind of thoughts are going on in the mind of any modern person, if you see, generally speaking. So, now what is the problem? These are all... See, for each of the gunas, we had one family mentioned in our one of the BTG articles. So, for the Rajaguna family, one Smith and Larry, I can tell you briefly about that family. That will make it more easy for you to appreciate this. So, Smith and Larry, they live in a villa, a very beautiful bungalow. They have often quarrels. Quarrels are a commonplace activity in the home because their opinions differ and also their expectations from each other also keeps increasing also. Smith works for a big company in a very big position. He has no dearth of commodities. He has a beautiful car and big post and position in the company. He gets a lot of name, fame, glory. He travel. He has many parties in the star hotels. He travels abroad, goes all around the country, all over the world. And Larry, she goes to a beauty parlor and spends hours and hours decorating herself, different hairstyles and different cosmetics and special type of surgeries to increase her beauty. Although they have a child, they have handed over the child to Aya to take care, because they have no time for the child. Oftentimes when they meet together also, the discussion is about how to make more money, how to increase more money and gain more prestige. So like this it goes on, explaining about family and passion. The families and passion means they earn a lot and they spend a lot and they are very lavish. That's one sign of your family and passion. Actually, when you have to spend a lot, you have to earn a lot also, correct, no? Otherwise, how can you spend? You know, like somebody was telling, they did a marriage in the top of Aurora Towers. The topmost floor, there's a swimming pool also, they said that. Any of you seen it? The topmost floor of Aurora Towers. But I think per day you have to pay some 30 lakhs or something, 30 or 40 lakhs for one evening only. You have to pay. If you want a swimming pool marriage. So I'm just telling, similarly people print marriage cards, 5,000 rupees worth, 10,000 rupees worth and all. You've seen that one card like that. So people, the whole idea in this world is impressing game. What game?
Impress.
Dusron ko impress karne ka. Show off, yeah. So Shastras use two words, Nishrayas and Abhyuday, two words. Nishrayas means fulfillment. Abhyuday means, achievement or achievement of some very great ambition is called Abhyuday. So Nishrayas means fulfillment of heart. Like for example, we all eat our prasad for showing off or for fulfillment. I mean, for satisfaction we eat, correct? No? Any of you make a plate and go to show to other people, see what all I am eating. You generally don't show. But what is the thing generally people show? The dress they wear, correct? People wear different colored dresses, different stylish dresses, different hairstyles, different cosmetics, that they show to others, correct? No? But for eating we don't show. Similarly, fulfillment is that which satisfies the heart. Achievement is something that is done to show to others. Even Arjuna is asking this in Gita. Kim no rajena govinda kim bhogair jeevitenava. Hey Krishna, if I fight this battle, all my relatives will die, then how can I show off? You know? He's saying. Imagine if somebody says, go to Gulf and earn a lot of money and come back in 20 years. He may say, if I come back in 20 years, my great-grandfather and all would have passed away, then how can I show off? People may ask like that. So Arjuna is also asking Krishna. Krishna said, you are fighting battle not to show off, you are fighting battle to satisfy me. Later on he says that. So why do people want to show off in this world? Anybody knows? What is the reason for that? Seeing glamour and showing off glamour. Why? Yes, Prabhu. Okay. You get attitude of controllership. Okay. Neighbors envy. Owner's pride. Isn't it? People feel others should look at me and say, oh, see how handsome he is or how beautiful she is. Oh, what dress they are wearing. See, my Lord, it's a very costly dress. In those days, people used to wear safari. Now everybody wears safari nowadays. Even people from village wear safari. Even that also, they may do that also. You will see that. Everybody wears, if you see. It has become very common. Now safari has lost its, what do you call it? The name. Yeah. Similarly, Govindpur was selling once, me, Gaurampur, Govindpur, in aeroplane. We were going by aeroplane. So we were going, nowadays, many, many people from all remote villages are traveling by plane. And Govindpur was selling, it has become like a PMT bus stop. He said, airport. Because every company is sending their people now. Every airport is like PMT bus stop now. It has become so common, he was selling. So the status symbol is gone now, traveling in a plane.
Flying bus.
It has become flying bus. Flying PMT bus now. <Is it? laughs> So, why do people want to see glamour? Why do they want to show glamour? All of you seem to be too innocent. I am only releasing all the answers. Yeah? Yes?
For fame.
Okay, that's one reason. They want to become popular, famous. Yes? They want some fans. They also want some fans, people who admire them. Yes, Prabhu?
Center of all activities.
Powerful it is. Wonderful. See, everybody is competing for Krishna's place, position. Krishna is beautiful, so I have to be beautiful. Krishna is wealthy, I have to be wealthy. If he is Lakshmipati, I should be Lakpati at least. You know? People think, isn't it? If Krishna is rich, if Krishna has strength, then I should have strength. Correct, no? Basically, we are imitation enjoyers. So that's one reason why people try to acquire these opulences as much as they can. Actually, even renouncing this world can be considered one of the opulences. Why people want to become renunciates? Because they may think that people will bow down to me, people will give me respect. Some people say, no, ye sadhu mahatma, itne pahunche huye mahatma hai, paisa ko chhute bhi nahi hai. There are people who say like that, no? You know, kuch paisa nahi lete hai. Ye Kaupin Baba hai, wo gufa mein baithe hai, bas. Itne achche mahatma kuch bolte hi nahi hai. Muh kholte hi nahi. Prabhupada said, muh kholte nahi hai, kyunki unko kuch malum nahi hai. Isliye muh kholte nahi. You know? Yeah. So, this is one, sometimes people ask, what is this, you ISKCON people, you have big, big temple, making commercial temple, you have Govindas, you have gift stall, and you have all these brahmacharis carrying laptops and going in cars, and you have rich, rich people coming, you know. We only appreciate religion, you know, religious people who are very poor and, you know, they are like poverty stricken. And people say like that. So we have to clearly tell people the difference between bhogi, tyagi and bhakta. This is very, very important. Because if this is one very preliminary thing, we should keep preaching to people, whomever we meet. Acha, did you hear the story of one sadhu and the disciple? I probably told this. How the guru taught the disciple about bhogi, tyagi, bhakta. Where did I tell you this? Here only I told you? So there are three, four stories on bhogi, tyagi, bhakta. One is the sadhu and sadhu mahatma and his disciple where he ate the fruits. Correct? That's the story I told you? Correct? Like, you know, first group of people came to, actually one fellow became a disciple of sadhu and he asked Guruji for some good instructions. Guruji said, 1 week you watch me. And then you tell me what lessons you learn. So, he stayed with him for a couple of days and sadhu was mostly silent. He was reading and chanting and doing his own things. And then one group of people from village came and they brought a plate full of fruits. So the disciple went and told sadhu they have come. So sadhu sat like this and he started opening all the fruits and eating. He was just eating one after another, throwing away all the covers. He finished the whole plate and removed it and went inside. You know the story? Yeah. So he went inside and the disciple was like bewildered. And the people also got bewildered. What is this fellow doing? Then after 2 days, another group of people came and brought some fruit similarly. Now Sadhu Mahatma was watching them. Tum kidhar se? He said, Kolhapur. He threw away one fruit. Not on him. He threw away this side. So aap kidhar se hain? Hum Junnar se hain. Like he threw away here. So he would throw away one here, one there. And for one question, he would throw away one fruit. And then the plate became empty and Sadhu got up and went away. And people were all staring up and down, looking at each other. And disciple was the most bewildered because he's living with the Guruji. And after 2-3 more days again, another group of people brought the fruits. This time the Sadhu Mahatma, he sat down. He accepted the plate of fruits. And he talked to those people for a few minutes. And he called them all to come closer. And he offered it to Krishna. And then he gave them prasad. You please, all of you accept. Half of it he distributed. Then other half he accepted. It also. So now after they went, the Guruji asked the disciple and told him, please tell me what was your realization in last 1 week. He said, Guruji, you know, your activities are all bewildering. Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vijnaya Bhujai. Nobody can understand the activities of great soul. Now can you please decode and tell me what you are doing? And Guruji said, what did you not like? What was your problem? He said, first when people came, your whole focus on was eating the fruits. And you didn't even look at the people. And once the job was over, you washed the hand and pushed off inside. And then Guruji asked, how did the people feel? Oh, they all felt very bad. And Guruji asked, how did you feel? I also felt bad, he said. It was not looking very nice. And Guruji said, these are the bhogis in this world. What bhogis do? They don't even look up how God is giving fruits, grains, cereals and everything. They just eat every day, no, cook and eat and they push off. They don't even say thank you to God. Correct, no? They don't acknowledge he was selling. So, today morning only we were discussing in one of the voices. See, what is the lowest understanding of the personality of Godhead? Anybody knows? See, the lowest understanding of personality of Godhead. Anybody knows? Okay. But I am asking a particular type of form which is considered the lowest understanding of the personality of God. Virat Purusha, correct. Virat Purusha. Is Virat Purusha a spiritual form or a material form?
Material.
It's a material form. Is it a real form or imaginary form?
Imagine.
Is it imagined form? It's a real form, but the form of the material world is imagined as his rupam, but it is temporary. Purpose is temporary, he says. Just like our body is perishes, the Virat Rupa form also perishes. Now, the bones of his body are what?
Mountains,
yeah. And the rivers are his?
Veins.
And the trees?
Hairs.
And the day and night are his blinking of eyes. See, why blinking of eyes? His two eyes are what? So when sun and moon, when you close, it's like he's closing of the eyes and opening of the eyes, day and night, like that. He said. And what is his smile? Anybody knows? Spell of Maya. It's called smile. Like that, huh? So like that, different parts of his body are mentioned. His nabhi is the ocean, and bhumi is the padam. Like that, many things are explained. So in this, the two eyes of the Lord are sun and moon, with which he is supplying all the fruits and vegetable cereals, correct? No? Which means, just like a mother is keeping an eye, similarly Krishna is keeping an eye on the material nature, Maya Adhyakshena. So what are the two supervising eyes of material nature? Sun and moon, with which he supervises and provides all our requirements. So we have to say thank you or not? Because by his, without the sun, can we get rains and grains and fruits and cereals and tasty, all those things? So, the bogi, first one was a bogi. And the second one, what the good, that's a tyagi, he threw away everything. So people felt very bad, I have given all these things, but they're throwing away. Similarly, God has given us so many things in this world to take and use after offering to him. But imagine if somebody throws away everything and goes to Himalayas. So Krishna is not happy. And the third, is whom he offered to Krishna and he gave it to them and he accepted also. And bhakta means he first gives to Lord and then he accepts. Like that. That's the meaning of the story.
Body is given to a person, commits suicide and gives up.
Yes.
Lord does not like it.
No, he will never like it. See, if company gives you a car, you take a cricket bat and break the glass of the car, company will take back the car and probably give a luna or something. Yeah, correct, yeah.
But he just
throws away and goes away. Actually, they are renouncing these things with the fear that if I use them, I'll get entangled. That's why they're renouncing. But they are foolish because they don't know you can catch fish without getting wet. You can use the things of this world, but by sanctifying them in Krishna's service. Correct, no? Like we eat nice prasad, we eat. But after sanctifying the food. Correct, no? So we were talking about sanctifying, eating, sleeping, waiting, defending, everything. But jnanis, they leave everything and go to Himalayas. Correct, no? So, in this way, we should tell people, would you like people who leave the city and go to Himalayas for their own mukti, becoming Tyagi Babas, living in remote jungle in Himalayas, becoming Naga Babas or somebody like that? Or would you like religious people to be in the heart of the city, and take everything and use in Lord's service? For example, we build a temple for the Lord. You know, we are making Govinda so that devotees can get prasad. We are having gift stall where all gifts sold are pure spiritual gifts. We are not selling liquor bottle or cigarettes. No? There is not a single material thing that's being sold. Isn't it? So, you can show them the campus. Tell me what is one thing which is material here. Everything is spiritual. So, we have to argue on behalf of Yukta Vairagya. It's very important. Otherwise, modern people generally have wrong notions about what is ideal standard of religion. Correct, no? That's why I was telling you these things. So, we were talking about seeing glamour and showing glamour. Why we want to show off glamour? Because we want to be like Krishna. We want to be center. And we want to get fans, followers. And when people say, wow, look at this person, huh? Look at the dress, look at this richness, how they are. And if people are clicking photos or seeing you, then others will be very impressed. Right, no? Yeah.
So is it that, you know, we want to show off our opulence? Because in subtle way, we know that we don't possess anything.
Yeah.
Generally, a person who doesn't know, a person who is not intelligent enough, will try to show that he is very intelligent. A person who is not very good looking, you know.
They try to put a lot of cosmetics to make cosmetics. Ah, that's
subtly
true.
Because subtly we know that we are not the enjoyer, we are not the...
Yes.
So we are trying to show off.
That is very, very true. That is why it's called show off. Like, imagine somebody is a peon in State Bank of India, but he's standing in a bus stop with very costly dresses, safari and everything. Somebody's asking, sir, where are you working? I'm working with SBI, you know. So maybe immediately what thought comes in your mind, maybe the manager there. No? Next day you go there and see he's just sweeping there. Correct, no? So this is called show off. Show off means to show oneself as somebody what one is not. Yes. And that is why we are calling it a showing off, because the living entity wants to show off oneself as somebody what one is not. Basically, it is a hankering to get love of the other living beings. We are hankering for love. But this love is not going to satisfy us. Why? Because imagine if somebody is given a saline, you know, and through that you get some energy. But imagine if you can eat a full plate of Mahaprasad, pulao kadi and everything. Is there not a difference? So which is better? To eat a plate full of Mahaprasad is better, or to have little saline going in? If you, when we become healthy, so this is like pure love of Krishna. If you have pure love, if you don't have pure love for Krishna, the substitutes are very bad. You know, little bit fame, name we may get, and that too, there will be a lot of competition for that also. Seeing glamour and showing glamour. And people compare. Like here he's saying, Trishna Sangena is saying, like for example, like somebody is in a 2 BHK and they're seeing, early morning I told you, 7 o'clock they're watching a house. What is that? And the husband asked wife, you're seeing somewhere? She said, didn't you see? She said, yes, what is it? Independent bungalow, you saw that? And then he said, yeah, I'm seeing it. And then the husband asked, okay, come, let's sit and talk something else. He said, but did you know, why did I show you? She asked. He said, but why did you show me? That's what we should aim at. You know, correct, no? So then immediately what happens? Then this fellow is saying, that will be 4 crores if you had to get such a house. And here we have a house which is 30 lakhs. Like that, no? So now wife says, yes, that is why I have given you an indication. Now you work in that direction. But I don't say that all wives are like that. Sometimes husband may be more greedy also. He may tell wife, you also go for a job. I will also go for a job. Let us earn and buy a 4 crore house or something like that. But the idea is what? People always look for better and better material positions in society. You'll always see. Actually, you will see, how do we know somebody is in passion? Like in a tokri, you, no matter how much water you draw from the well and you put water, it appears to be, you know, not bharpur, not enough. Because in a tokri, always the water will go outside. Correct, no? It doesn't remain. It will always fall short. So that is why in goodness, one will know how to spend within what one earns. Whereas in the passion, the problem is not the less salary. The problem is the desires. So there is a mathematical formula we can remember. If my desires are more than my assets, am I rich or poor?
Poor.
If my assets are more than my desires? Yeah, you are rich. Correct, no? But generally, which one is true for most people? First one. The desires are more than? And that is why we are studying Bhagavad Gita. When we study Bhagavad Gita, when we find that our assets become more than desires, and for Sudama Brahmana, which was true? His assets are more than his desires. For Kola Vichesha, is there which was true?
Desires are less than. More, less than.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Desires are less than assets. Yeah. For Kola Vichesha, is there? Correct, no? Yeah. You see, Kola Vichesha, is there? Our Nimai Pandit asked him, see, there are many Durga worshippers who are getting some huge bungalows and cars and facilities and everything. Look at you, Kola Vichesha. You have so many holes in the dress. And you have more holes in the roof of your thatched cottage and everything. You know what he said? You see, my dear Brahmana, the king lives in a palace and a sparrow lives in a nest. But once they close their eyes and sleep, what is the difference? Nobody knows whether I am in a palace or I am in a nest. Somebody is awarded by Lord your life in a palace. Somebody is awarded a place in a small nest or something like that. But ultimately he said, everybody is allotted their quota of enjoyment and suffering by the Supreme Lord. And one should accept it gratefully, whatever he has sent. And Lord has allotted me this cottage with holes and my dresses with holes, and I am satisfied with that, he said. See, this is not to create laziness. Huh? Because laziness is never entertained in scriptures. But this is to teach us contentment. Contentment is not complacency. Satisfaction is not complacency. In material life also, we should do some work to maintain the relatives, friends and everybody. But greed is something that burns the heart. Greed, it intensely burns the heart, because one is constantly in anxiety, in chinta, to make more intensely. So I was hearing an interesting lecture. High bolne se agar sab cheez prapt ho jate hain, to hum high bolkar sab prapt kar lenge. Lekin high bolne se jalan hi badhta hai, to hum high kyon bole? He was asking. You understand, no? By hankering for something, if I can get an object, then we can hanker and keep on getting. But hankering doesn't produce the object. Hankering only increases burning sensation in the heart. Then why burn? Better quench the burning. By adapting santushta. See, Vaman Dev section, there is one beautiful verse which says, if you wear the gumboot of self-satisfaction, all of you know what is gumboot? Up to the knee, you know, from the bottom of the leg up to the knee you are. So if somebody is wearing the gumboot of self-satisfaction, he can walk through this world of pebbles and thorns without getting hurt, it is said. Like on a rainy day when there's muddy pool of water, you can wear a gumboot, you know. And you can even walk through the water, nothing will happen. Similarly, in this world, ups and downs will come. Sometimes we are economically, we are challenged. Sometimes we are economically upward, we are flourishing. And in all the situations, a devotee's sadhana, bhakti will not be disturbed because of wearing the gumboot of self-satisfaction. Like for example, when one is affluent, one may spend a bit lavishly. But when one is not earning so well, then one has to cut down. Like some devotees have experienced. Suddenly they have taken a loan for a flat. And then they have to pay, what do you call that, MRI? EMR. MRI is for scanning, I think. What do you call, I don't even know these things. What do you call EMRI? EMI, yeah. What does EMI stand for? Equal monthly installment. EMI they have to pay every month. So, now suddenly you find the salary goes down, correct, no? Because some portion, every month, you know, 15, 20,000 from the salary goes. Then one has to find out how I can live within this. And earlier we could live a little more lavishly, but now we have left a little bit, you know, curtail ourselves. So, in the same manner you will find, one has to learn to adjust oneself in the situation which one is put. But generally, what idea mind will give, let us find out an alternative idea by which I can earn more money by cutting down some of my spiritual life. Correct, no? This is a tricky mind which will give such an idea. You understood. You can repeat. Really? So who can repeat for Prabhuji? Anybody? The sentence which I just now said. You are almost 70% correct. In what context I told this statement? Anybody can say? EMI already I told. EMI is the condition. See, for example, somebody was having 50,000 rupees. But if 15,000-20,000 is going in EMI now, because of which the original salary what was coming before has become reduced. So in that situation, what may one want to do? Just maintain our present material status quo. One may go for what? So generally, whenever compromises have to be made, people prefer compromise in which area?
Spiritual life.
That is the point. Correct. No? That's why people compromise. Easiest thing to compromise. Bhagavan kidhar jane wala hai? Idhar hi kade hain, Vrindavan Chandra ji. Kidhar jane wala hai? Milenge. People generally think like that. Lord is anyway here only. He's not going to run away somewhere.
See, also the benefits of spiritual life are not very fast and tangible.
Yeah. See, the biggest problem in spiritual life is the asat is pain producing, but it is immediately available. And the sat is bliss producing, but it is far away. But one should move aside the asat and look towards sat. That is intelligence. So, this is the greatest challenge in the material world. And for us to do that, we need willpower. And the willpower will come in association. You know, when we are in good association, we will have the willpower to say no to asat and yes to sat, although sat may be far away. You see? So, we need a... Actually, in good association, we get a higher taste. Sukham, he says, jnanam, sattaguna. This is one reason why we have to come to sattaguna. Because in rajaguna, always the decisions made can be wrong decisions. In rajaguna. Because the rajaguna is motivated by sukha, this thing, you know, karma sangena and trishna sangena. Correct, no? So, in trishna, what happens is a person always compares with other people. Like, for example... Somebody, I had written one drama also, I don't have it here, it's in my computer. When we went to Bangalore, we did this seminar on insecurity, competition and envy. We did in Pune also, we did it. So I had written three to four skits. So one of the skits I can tell you. Like, you know, in one skit, wife is very materialistic and husband is advanced. And another skit, wife is very advanced and husband is materialistic. So I compensated both. In two dramas I did. First drama when I did, all the Matajis were having small faces. Radhishyam Prabhu is too much on Prabhuji's side. And then I did the next drama, all the Prabhuji's, you know, flies were flying in their face. They were thinking, how did Prabhuji know our situation? And then Matajis were very happy. They again became very happy after that. So I'll do those dramas. So I gave it to one husband-wife to read it. It came out so well, you know. And they really dramatized with modulation and everything so nicely. So I'll tell you briefly, what is the drama? Like the wife is telling the husband, she's telling that, my dear husband, we are, you know, you see, you are taking me always in a scooter. But see my friend, she's telling some other name, so and so, she has purchased, her husband has purchased a car. And the husband says, you see, he is a manager, in a big manager in a company. And my position is a small position. So for me, scooter is fit and for him, car is fit. So she says that, you know, now we have a child also. We have to carry the child. It will be better to have a car. And then we can go to Mangalarti also. Because even if dogs come running after the car, no problem. But if dogs come running after scooter, they can bite our knee. Right now. So she gives some reason. So, and then he says, very soon we'll get, don't worry, he says. Then she says, you have been telling me, but do you remember yesterday evening we went for one program? She says, yes. In their house, did you see their altar? He says, yeah, I did see. Oh, do you know what was the size of the altar? She says that, oh, that was 4 feet by 8 feet. He says, and she says, yes, but look at our home. You know, we only have altar 2 feet by 4 feet, only half of that size. He says, you know, they have a big house and we have a small house. Not only that, they had a marble altar. We only have wooden altar, like that she says. Yeah? And he says, when Lakshmi favors us, my dear wife, we will get all those things, don't worry. You know, he says, when... But she says, you know, if we have such a small altar, you know, how will Krishna be pleased? She's asking. And the husband is telling, see, Krishna is not pleased with the size of the altar. He's pleased with the size of your love, you know, with what love you offer him. And then he says, you see, Sudama offered a little bit chipped rice and Krishna accepted it so gratefully. And Duryodhana offered Chappan Bhog and Krishna rejected it. So, in this way, this drama goes on, making comparison about food, about vehicle, about bungalow and all those things like that. And the next drama talks about, husband is telling his wife that, did you hear in the yesterday Sunday feast, they're announcing Ruchi is going to be a sector leader, he's saying. Sector leader means she is in charge of 4 groups. And 4 Bhaktivriksha groups. And this lady says, yeah, I heard it. I was feeling so joyful because when we came to the city, she only, you know, brought us to Krishna consciousness. And now, and the husband says, but you know, she was not very senior either. You know, she had come only a few months before us. And now she has become a sector leader and we are only heading only 1 Bhaktivriksha group. We are heading, you know. And what will the other congregation think about us? You know, he is telling. She says, see, we have 2 children and she has no children. She has ample of time to lead 4 groups. She can go to all the 4 groups and supervise, which we cannot do. We have to take care of our children. So, and I don't mind being under such a wonderful devotee like Ruchi. She is such a good devotee. And I want to learn from her. You know, like that she says. Husband says, I had one suggestion. Can we stop this Bhakti Vriksha program which you are doing? And instead we can enter some service in deity department, he is saying. And she's asking, why do you say like this? Then he says, it's very obvious. Because if we change to another department, we don't have to work under her. Like that he says. Then her wife says, but why do you want to stunt Prabhupada's mission? Simply because of her false ego, we want to stop preaching nicely. Already there are 20, 25 people coming. Such a nice program. Every week we are getting the seva to do. So she says, but then husband says, if you insist, then we can continue this program. I only feel a little uneasy that we will have to be her subordinate. If you don't mind, then I don't mind, husband says. And wife says, I absolutely don't mind. I'm very happy. And the husband is asking his wife, how are you so non-envious about your devotees in the congregation who are slightly superior to you, but are officially, managerially posted as superior to you? You know, spiritual life, they are almost equal, but managerially, they are put as superior, like that. So the wife says, you know, she says that, you know, my dear husband, you came to Krishna consciousness first and I came later. So you only introduced me to Ruchi. So naturally, I don't feel any envy for her. Nor do I feel that you feel. Husband says, actually, I didn't feel. I thought you may feel. That's why I wanted to help you, husband says. No? And the whole drama ends like that. So this is a drama for showing how husband is feeling insecurity. Correct, no? So how many of you feel that these kind of situations are possible? You feel? Possible, no? It can happen, correct, no? So you think it's quite practical, this one? Yeah. So this is called as Trishna Sangena. Trishna Sangena means, you know, there is a hankering in the husband's heart to become equal to some superior. Because somebody was apparently equal, now managerly has become superior. So there is a competition for that. Similarly, she was wanting those things like altar or scooter, I mean car or facility. All those things in order to show that hum kisi se kam nahi, that kind of desire, you know. We are also not less, we are also equal to you. See, many times people want to show externally that I am also equal. Correct, no? So, this kind of Trishna Sangha can happen. Actually, it can be gross, it can be subtle. The gross sex, we know, that's a very physical, gross carnal pleasures, we call it. And there is subtle sex, which is actually hankering for honor and prestige and status. So, once is one as Rana Swami Maharaj was telling. Sometimes, in certain temples, he was telling, if the arati lamp is not first given to a senior person, if it is given to some junior person, then the senior person become upset. He may call the junior and say, Pata nahi tumko, kaun senior hai? Pahle idhar dena tha, udhar pahunchane ke pahle. And he asked like that, junior gets frightened. So Maharaj was telling that what is this ghee lamp? The ghee lamp has got 5 wicks. And those 5 wicks, they represent our 5 senses. And the 5 wicks are soaked in the ghee, which represents false ego. So the false ego is burned by engaging our senses in the Lord's service. That's the meaning actually. We are burning away the false ego by engaging all of our senses, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchyate. And then when you are taking the lamp and putting in the eyes, we are saying that I am very blinded by false ego and passion. Please kindly give me the eyes to see your beautiful form. And touching the head means may your blessings come upon me. That's the meaning actually. When we are taking a lamp. So if one says, then the very purpose is defeated. You understand, no? And the purpose gets defeated. So this is called subtle sex, we call it. Subtle sex is actually puja, la, pratishtha. That is called subtle sex. Actually, this kind of false ego is the subtlest element. And sometimes it may be difficult to even know also. Somebody else has to tell us, Prabhu, you have false ego. Please give it up. And if you have a friend, they may tell us. Then we can give up. But here he's talking about both. He's saying that the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. O son of Kunti, and because of this embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. See, Prabhupada writes in purport, the mode of passion is characterized by attraction between man and woman. Woman has attraction for man, and man has attraction for woman. This is called the mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. Yeah. That means the desire turns into hankering as the passion is increased. So that is why passion should be diminished, he says. See, it's not wrong to have desires, but it is wrong to have hankering. Yeah. Because we all have desires. But when the desire is turned into hankering by increased passion. Similarly, attraction for man and woman is obvious. And that is why the system of marriage is kept. Within married life, man and woman come together and beget children and raise them in Krishna consciousness. But if one goes out of limits, just like we say, vihita karma, kamya karma, nishiddha karma, we say, three types of karma we call it. Vihita karma means prescribed rules and regulations. Kamya karma is pleasurable desires, pleasurable activities. And nishiddha karma means prohibited activities. So there are three levels. Like for example, now man and woman in Krishna consciousness, how do they conduct their home? I was reading in one of the books, and I think you all might have read the book called Third Partner. That's a beautiful book. So many nice things they say there that came to my mind now. Like for example, the husband and wife, along with their children and parents and everybody, they perform devotion service. And also there are many activities apparently not directly devotion service, but which are counted amongst activities in Sattvaguna. For example, helping the elderly parents, taking them to hospital, bathing them, dressing them, feeding them food, attending to their medical needs and everything. Husband helping wife and wife helping husband. And both of them helping the children, offering love and care for them. And behaving in a spirit of selfless sacrifice rather than behaving out of selfishness. You know, behaving in a spirit of selfless sacrifice for each other. Actually, this is very close to spiritual platform. This is in Sattvaguna. Sattvaguna can, if husband and wife become non-exploitative towards one another, then there is a very great possibility that their advancement in spiritual life can be rapid. Be very fast also. Similarly, the children are, purpose is husband, the wife should be chaste, husband should be protective, and children should be grateful. Like that Prabhupada writes in Second Chance book. Children are grateful, they have gratitude for the parents, without parents having to tell them, itna kya tumko, thoda bhi kritagnyata nahi, kritagnya banne ke badale tum kritagna ban gaya. You know the difference between kritagnya and kritagna? Kritagnya means one who is grateful, kritagna means one who is ungrateful. So parents need not have to demand the children to be grateful. Similarly, the husband and wife, the relationship also. So your family and passion means, like wife says, you know, I have a dozen boyfriends. I will bring them for a party. So that is a family in passion. And the husband says, I also have some few girlfriends from my college. I will bring them also. So, and they are all mixing together freely. In the modern times, if men and women don't talk to each other, in the college or in a company and other things, they will be considered too conservative. And they may be considered too rigid. And of course, for the business purposes, service purposes, one can always talk. But the talk should not be private or personal. When it becomes very private and personal between man and woman, that produces rajaguna. Correct, no? But in the modern times, you will see there are so many female secretaries working under male managers. Or if there are female project leads, you know, having to, drive some 10, 12 men under them. Correct, no? So these kind of things are becoming very common. And for the man and woman should be very service-oriented. Service-oriented means the company we are working for a particular type of job. Then the job should be completed. Actually, it is very difficult to separate the emotion and, emotion and the job. Because these are all connected. That's where the challenges will come. So, in this way, in that book, they are explaining beautifully about how in a family the sattvaguna activities are increased, the family will be like spiritual world. Either is saying, like for example, husband and wife can rise early in the morning, they can maintain the altar nicely, they can do some kirtan, they can chant, they can help each other in cooking and cleaning and washing, and then taking care of the children, and organizing some program and doing some preaching. So like that, they are telling mostly devotional activities. Some are devotional and some may not be, but all the activities have a spirit of sacrifice. That's most important. Spirit of selfless sacrifice. The moment the exploitative thoughts come in the mind to exploit one another, then the problems of passion increase. Now, for example, some of the aspects of passion are blame game. I blame you, you blame me. I accuse you, you accuse me. Whenever there are problems at home, people always blame others. Maybe they must have done like that. Correct? No? And something good happens at home. Don't you see who did it? You know, don't you see? They ask like, correct? No? So for good credit, that is why it is said, you know, success has many fathers and failure is orphan. It is said, no? Isn't it? Failure is a poor fellow. It's orphan, no father. Nobody wants to own the failure. Isn't it? So passion means people like to blame, accuse. So we call it as a BMW mode. Blaming, moaning, wailing mode. Or ABC mode we call it. Accusing, blaming, criticizing mode. So in these are also arising from passion actually. In Rajoguna, actually in Rajoguna there is a desire, kuch karke dikhana hai. Duniya ko dikhana hai. Kuch to karna hai jis cheez ko kisi ne nahi kiya hai abhi tak. That is also in passion. Passion or ambition by which one wants to prove one's greatness to the world. That type of desire. And in the course of doing that, you know, if one fails, one will blame others. If one succeeds, one will raise the collar. That is passion. You see? Like one boy went to submit the project and there was a panel who was interviewing him. And the panel, as soon as they saw the project, they told him that, we have some questions. He said, sir, my dear sirs, I want to tell you, out of 5 of us, in those days BTP, 4 or 5 of them were jointly do. He said, one fellow did typing work, one fellow did binding work, one fellow clicked the photo of the fabrication project, everything. The only person who has made the whole substance of the project is myself, you know, my good self. So I hope you all will understand, you know, that lot of hard work has gone from my side. And as you know very well, you know, typing and binding and photography, any Tom, Dick and Harry can do that. So the whole idea was the boy wanted to get 200 out of 200, you know. So the panel people opened the thing and said, thank you. And they said, we have a question. You know, in page number 3, you have written the problem definition, but there is one very fundamental flaw in that, they said, in the very definition of your problem. He said, sir, wait a minute. Actually, that problem part, you know, I didn't do. You know, one another boy did. He was telling. You know, I'm honestly telling you, you know, such and such a boy did it, he said. Then they said in page number 56, you see again, the mistakes are there. You know, this experiment is done. He said, sir, I'm not very much aware of the experiment that fellow did, he said. And then they asked him, honestly tell us, which one did you do? You know. And then he said, sir, first you ask questions, then I will tell. He said, they said, no, you tell us what you did. Then he was very shy. He could not speak. Then when others were called, then the truth was revealed that he did only the typing part. So this is a true story, you see. But he wanted to grab all the 200 marks by self-praise. You see, like that. Actually, even as devotees, honestly, we have to touch our heart and think many times. There is one principle in Ashtanga Yoga called as Asteya. Asteya means not stealing the credits that are due for others. Yeah? Not stealing the credits that are meant for others. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't want to mention the name of the place. There is one particular place where there were many men, 4 or 5 men. They cleaned up all the toilets. Because His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was coming to that place. They cleaned all the toilets. They cleaned all the floor and everything. When Maharaj came, Maharaj went to see the washroom. And it was so spick and span. Maharaj came back. And at that time, Maharaj saw there were some women hanging around there. And Maharaj saw probably they only cleaned. And Maharaj just turned and said, "Oh, these washrooms are kept so clean." You know? And the women said, "Thank you, Maharaj," they were saying. And the men got very wild. "Are yesterday, whole day we did the job." And Maharaj is thinking that, you know, the women have cleaned all these things. And they are also saying, "Thank you." And the woman came only today only, you know. And they are just standing nearby and they took the credit. So the men wanted to take some revenge, you know. So anyway, you know when Maharaj came to take the prasad, somehow they passed the message through one of the servants, you know. "Please tell Maharaj that these four Tagada men, they only did the work. Yesterday, practically 6-8 hours, they did the work. And these Matajis are now coming and standing very beautifully close to that place." Probably they didn't even understand what Maharaj asked. They are just, "Thank you, Maharaj," they are saying. So when they told Maharaj, servant told Maharaj, and Maharaj understood the whole thing. And Maharaj laughed like this as usual. And Maharaj said, "They must have stolen the credits in their previous lifetime." I said, "They got the credits now." He said, you know. So we should not steal the credits meant for others. We have to be honest. So in this way, in Rajaguna, this tendencies of competitive mentality is very strong. Crab mentality, we say, you know, pulling leg of others. See, if somebody is above, pull him down. If somebody is very much above, pull him down. Or you climb up and go above his head. Either of the two one has to do. So either you pull down the name of somebody, or you try to become more popular by self-praise and self-glorification like that. These are also in passion actually, mode of passion. See, the one of the reasons why we criticize others is to reduce their value and reduce their fame, reduce their popularity. So actually there was one devotee who was a very, very advanced devotee, wonderful devotee. But the devotee was very badly criticized by somebody. So the matter was brought to Maharaj, Ranaswami Maharaj. Maharaj was telling, "People don't throw stones on bubble trees. They only throw stones on mango trees," he said. Why? Because mango trees are mangoes. That's what they can get. Similarly, he said, in this world you will always see people will try to assassinate character of somebody to pull them down. That competition is very strong. The drive is very, very strong. In schools, colleges, companies, in organizations, these are very, very common. Especially when there is a power, it's called as PPP, we call it. Power, prestige, politics, we call it. Power, prestige, politics. Big competition. PPP, P-cube. So, this is arising from Rajaguna. Rajaguna means proving oneself. See me, see my beauty. See me, see my greatness. Samajalo me kaun ho. Aisa hai mat socho ki main sadharan aadmi hu. So there is a desire, there is a thirst for honor, he says. That's called Trishna. There is a deep thirst for honor. We have thirst for water or hunger for food. Similarly, there is a thirst for honor. Honor and prestige. Yeah. Like some people desire, when will the time come in my life when I am walking in the public, people will click, 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 many people will click photos on me. And I'll be given a red carpet welcome. So there are many people who are fans of top stars and everybody. They have such hankering. But most people in this world die with hankerings. They don't get their hankerings fulfilled. But there is a hankering, thirst for honor. In everyone's own position, people try in their own way. So, see, these are all in Rajaguna. This kind of thirst for honor, thirst for opposite sex also. Like for example, see, the system of marriage is kept so that one woman for one man. Correct, no? That is why the system is kept. And in the Vedic times, what would happen? A young girl, like Sita tells Ravana that I was married to Ram at the age of 9, she says. So why this early marriage was done, Prabhupada explains. When a girl is married to a boy at a very early age, then immediately she makes up her mind, this is my husband. Although they don't stay together. Husband goes to his house and he is studying further. Vocational training and all that. And she is, my Lord, it's almost time now. She is in her own home. Occasionally the husband would be brought and she will cook something for him and feed him and everything in order to increase their affection like this. And then at a certain time when she attains puberty and the boy becomes adult, then they are allowed to stay together and beget children. And then there's a deep attachment that comes between them. And then within 3, 4, 5 years, they begot a few children. And by the age 23, 24, they turn their attention towards children, you know, in growing the children. But you can find why the system of marriage is kept. Because within that married life, wife knows that I should not look at any other man with the wrong eye. Similarly, husband knows that I am already married to a woman. I should not look at any other woman with the wrong eye. So it arrests the religious principle, you know, stops them from misbehaving like that. And the boy also starts working and earning money. He knows that I have to start saving now because my family life is going to start like that. But in the modern days, if you find, sometimes they find a girl working till 27, 28, nowadays even 30 also nowadays. And the boys are marrying at the age of 30, 32 sometimes, if you see like that. Already they are like half old men. Isn't it? Beyond 30, already they become like old fellows. So some people are marrying at 35 also, you sir. 34, 35 also. So by the time they resort to adultery and lot of many bad habits. A girl had broken relationship with 3 boyfriends and a boy had broken relationship with 3 girlfriends before that. And how can they, when they marry, how they can properly match and peacefully live? But the girl and boy, if they have strict religious principles in their home, they can put a barrier wall. Recently, one boy asked this question in one of the classes. So, sir, if my memory serves me right, I heard you say in the class that we can't have a girlfriend. Is that correct? He asked. Then I said, yes, I did say that, yes. He said, what's the problem? You know, he was asking. Then he asked, whom does the girl belong to? I asked. This question was a new question for him. He's asking, he doesn't know. I'm asking you, whom does the girl belong to? Then he couldn't answer. Then one another boy answered, hey, bolo na yaar, unke mata pita ke, if she belongs to her mata pita, tell, no? He suggested the answer to him. Then he said, okay, the girl belongs to her parents. I said, if you want to have her as a girlfriend, you should take permission from the father. I want to have your daughter as my girlfriend. I said, the boy had a big laughter. You know, and he said, what, sir, which father will give permission? You know, then, and that's why you should marry her, I told him. You know, the only girlfriend you can have in your life is your wife after marriage. I said, yeah, this is the standard. Correct, no? So, this we teach our students when they come to Smriti camp, we teach this. A girl should be under the protection of the father, and after marriage, her husband, and after her husband takes sannyas, then under the protection of her son, she should be protected like that. So, this is marriage system, and why this is kept? The husband is actually the protector of the wife. If a young woman comes in the road, everybody is eyeing at her top to bottom, measuring her beauty. But imagine suddenly a man comes from behind with a big mustache and a lungi and a big belt. That he has. Isn't it? Immediately all the people, they will say, correct. So, that is why in the Vedic system, the husband is kept. See, when you see the husband with the wife, a man's lust evaporates. Correct, no? Wife with the husband, yeah. No, if a man is looking at a woman who is married, with wrong eyes, when the husband comes, then he can't be lusty anymore. He will fold his tail and run away from there. Correct, no? And that is protection for the husband. Correct, no? And those who are married, within married life, other than one's own wife, one should see every other woman as a mother. Matravat paradareshu. Paradravishilvashu. Correct, no? So, you may say, what are you teaching, Prabhuji? Are we new devotees? You know, you are talking as if you are... Actually, you will be shocked to know... There are communities across the globe in ISKCON where one wife has divorced one husband and married another devotee husband who has divorced his wife, and all complications are happening in the world. So as counselors and leaders also, one should know the fire and butter principle that treating men and women with respect and dignity some amount of reservation is actually the right way to have a devotee community enriched with Vaishnava behavior. So here he's talking about passion. Sometimes the thought may cross the mind, some dirty thought may cross the mind, like Renuka was going to the bank of the pond to fetch that pot, you know, to get the water. But that day she saw a Gandharva flying in the sky. She didn't even see directly, she saw the water. reflection she saw. But then she developed some amount of attraction. So, because this world is in passion and Kali Yuga is mostly in what modes prominently? Passion and ignorance. We see so many billboards. We see so many advertisements in TVs. See, this is a very dangerous thing because the advertisements show handsome men and beautiful women. Imagine if everybody expects their wife and husband to be like that. Is it possible? Like those what they see in the advertisements. It unnecessarily increases the expectations of people also. Isn't it? And neither the husband or wife will like the spouse to be appreciating some other person coming in advertisement. Is it not true? This is another big problem with TV nowadays. So the TV increases passion. The watching the advertisement, boom, 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 you know, one after another. Like if you go in the road, Pepsi, 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 Pepsi. Somebody goes to a shop, catch a Pepsi. You know, they say like that. Because he's bombarded with Pepsi. So these also increase the passion, thirst for enjoyment. So here Prabhupada says in the purport directly in the beginning, attraction between man and woman, woman and woman. And when the mode of passion is increased, then it develops hankering for material enjoyment. So with one last word, I'll conclude. In the Mahabharata, it is said, one should not desire which should not be desired. And one should attain that goal which is very difficult to attain at any cost. So two things are said. One should not desire that which should not be desired. That means Ravana should not desire the hand of Sita. That is the first one. One should not desire that which should not be desired. And the second is, one should at any cost attain that goal which is very hard and difficult to attain. What is that goal? The spiritual goal. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam upari adaha tat labhyate dukkha vadanyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhiranam. So, that verse says it's very difficult to attain spiritual world, but one should at any cost pay any price to attain the spiritual sky. Even Jesus says that in Bible, the kingdom of God is paved only by priceless jewels. One has to offer the priceless jewels of humility, meekness, tolerance and simplicity and surrender to God and devotion, and such priceless diamonds you have to offer at the feet of Guru and Krishna to attain the spiritual world. And one should be willing for that. But that should not be desired, should not be desired. So we'll continue in the next program. Now quickly, one small thing I have to ask you. Actually, this month, only this Tuesday I'm here. Rest of the Tuesdays I'm out of station, going to Kanpur and other places and all. And next month I'm available for 2-3 Tuesdays, I'm in Pune only. But I want to check with all of you. His Grace Shikuchanpo was telling me just yesterday, he was talking to me, that some other devotees coming here may be connected to him, and they might want to attend his Tuesday program, which he has moved from Monday to Tuesday because he completed Bhakti Shastri somewhere. So for those devotees, he wants to do, I think, Tuesday programs. So he asked me, will it be all right if you do it on Wednesday or some other day? So actually for me also, Wednesdays would be more convenient monthly, once or twice, according to all of your need. Because the reason I'll tell you, I travel quite a bit outdoor. And I reach back Pune on Monday night or Tuesday morning sometimes. Sometimes it may become Tuesday night also. Similarly, I go out from Pune on Thursday generally. And Wednesday, I'm likely to be in Pune in case I'm not going out. So in case for you, Tuesday only is convenient, then I think monthly, 2 Tuesdays I can find out. Only thing is, in case any of you are intending to attend his Bhagavatam first canto, I think he's doing, I think, then you will miss that if you keep it on the same day. So I wanted some feedback from you on that, you know. Should we do on Wednesday? How many of you feel if you keep this type of program on, say, 2 Tuesdays a month or 2 Wednesdays a month, you would like to attend Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter? You would like to attend? If there are a good number of people, I'll come. Otherwise, if it is too hectic for you, then... No, I will send a mail to Prabhuji tomorrow only about the next 2 Tuesdays. Gita, yeah. That is true, yeah. See, next month I am available on first 2 Tuesdays. We can do on Tuesday 1, Tuesday 2 of the next month.
So, Tuesday or Wednesday?
Correct. Tuesday or Wednesday, I was asking. Yeah, many have many other things. Very dressing you have. And what about Monday? Monday also.
That day we said it Tuesday, taking into consideration all the
devotees.
All the devotees are available.
No, we have been doing in your house also Tuesday only. And there when we were doing in the thing also. And I can stick to Tuesday. So two Tuesdays in a month or one Tuesday in a month?
Two.
Two is all right. Only this month I'm doing only once. Next month onwards I think I can do two, I think, mostly. See, in case certain months I'm going too much out, then I'll do only one Tuesday. Huh? But otherwise I'll do two. Is it all right? So then we'll continue like this.
Then we will try to compensate.
Yeah. Compensate means three in the next month. Yeah. Only they should not find it. They will get taxed, I think.
Any other week of your
two? Which other day, like?
Thursday.
No, Thursday evening I'm free only. Actually, my programs are generally, I do my programs before 8 o'clock, any other program I'm doing. And my calendar is available. I'm scanning and sending also. So we will fix up. I think for two Tuesdays we will fix in advance. So coming month we can have first two Tuesdays. Coming month? April.
Today is first April.
Oh, today is over. No, this month only I'm one day, one Tuesday only. I'm telling in May.
Yeah, that's what
in May month, two Tuesdays.
May 6th and 13th.
Yes, 6th and 13th. I'm in Pune only.
Today is the only thing
this month only, this one. Because I'm not available. I'm traveling extensively out. Going for IAS meeting, Delhi and Kanpur and many other places.
13th is Narsingh
Chaturdashi. Oh, is it? Then we can't hold it on 13th.
Sixth
we can have it, and I'll tell you one more. Mostly I can come 1 week later also, after 13th. What is it? 20. 20. So 6th and 20th I can keep, I think. Is it all right? Next month, May month. See, also I had put up on the notice board one Rukmini's marriage. How many of you saw it? Okay. So I have put timing there in English as 8:30 to 10:30. I am asking a general opinion from all of you. How many of you feel the English-speaking audience in Pune would prefer that time, 8:30, 10:30 in the morning? It's a good time slot.
It's a Sunday.
Now, I am planning to do one Sunday in a month like that. I'll finish the Rukmini in 3 months. I'll finish. This is April, May, June. 6 hours. I did in Bangalore in 4 sittings, 1.5 hours each, I finished it.
I have one suggestion.
Yes, Prabhu.
Then since of 8:30 you can have it at 10.
See, Krishna Kishore Prabhu suggested me, Prabhu, one Sunday we will reserve for you in a month. You do it in Sunday feast time only, he told me. But see, sometimes 2-3 Sundays I am out. And the Sunday I am here, some great soul like, you know, we have Gaur Krishna Prabhu or Bhakti Rasan.
Yes, it is not there, I am saying.
Yeah.
Because you know, if we have at 8:30, then it is likely that devotee will attend 8:30
and go away.
Correct. Because
two lectures
in a day.
It may be too much for them.
Sunday can have.
Is it a morning now? Some devotees told me to do.
And there is no guest speaker, you can have it at 10:30 to 12.
Only thing is, it's highly dynamic visitors to Pune. It's
no,
very difficult. See, for example, coming.
We can have it in the multi-purpose hall, but parallel to that.
Parallel to Sunday feast?
It can be general Sunday feast for others, and for those English speaking or some senior devotees, it can be done.
Yeah, he also suggested it, but somehow I'm finding every week somebody comes. You know? And see, I am only there in Pune for 1 or 2 Sundays, you know. And those 2 Sundays also, like imagine if Bhakti Samara is giving Sunday feast, then all of us would like to attend. The coming week, there one Shubha Vilas Prabhu is doing on Ramayana. Who would want to miss it, you know? Now we had Gaur Krishna Prabhu yesterday. So we have somebody like this coming. Otherwise, last minute, Keshav Prabhu will say, Rashampu Lokanath Swami hai Pune mein, bulayenge kya unko? Once he asked him, Sunday morning. Morning. I can do evening also 4:30 to 6:30. Is that good? No. Council meetings are the Sunday evening you have, no? See.
What time you finish? Your dressing? Morning
dressing.
8.
But then
again
I have to come. I go in the morning, come back and have breakfast.
Ashish Jadebu, not only I'm asking for people like you, you are all very senior, many of you here. I'm asking for general English audience. I am not asking about all of you. You already may be giving lectures also.
If you keep at 8:30, the devotees are likely to skip the Sunday
service.
Is it, huh?
Really?
Because two things are there. First is they cannot attend two lectures for 2 hours, and then they feel that 8:30 is very comfortable early morning coming here.
They come on Mangalarti also, people come. That's
they,
true.
They can go at 10:30, take breakfast, 8 o'clock, 8:30 Bhagavatam, 10:30 home. So whole day
will be Bhagavatam class.
Like Bhagavatam class. No, that is happening in Chaupati also. Many devotees come for the morning Mangalarti, attend Bhagavatam and push off.
If that is there, then we should have the understanding that there should not be any problem there.
That's correct.
The devotees should be allowed to attend the 8:30 program whenever you are
here. Yeah. Anyway, they have heard solidly for 2 hours, they have heard. Yeah. But I have put 8:30 now in the notice board for the first class I have put. I'll see also the response, I'll see also. How it is, yeah.
Hmm. What are the dates
of which Sundays? Which Sundays? Oh, already date is put up. You saw it in the notice board? Oh, Vamante Prabhu sent it already. How many of you got the PPT mail? Sent to all of you. I've already sent it to him.
Yeah. I have one question.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Earlier you were talking about desires. I forgot the context in it, but I got this question. You said it is hankering is not good, but desires are good. Like that.
Yes.
Afterwards also.
Yeah.
So, as Grihastha devotees, devotees have many desires.
Yeah.
So it is for all.
Yeah.
Devotee, non-devotee, everybody has desires. And as Grihasthas, devotees are able to fulfill some of the desires. But when they fulfill their desires, they regret or have a guilt feeling. Some desires. And at the same time, they are engaged in the devotional service.
Correct.
Nice. They are serving, whole day they are trying to keep them busy in Krishna's service.
Correct.
So, just throw a light on how this,
Actually, the one should know that the path of devotional service is not a very kadak path. It's not like a fanatical path. The Lord says to Uddhava in the 11th canto that if my devotee is engaged in devotional service, and always 24/7 trying to serve me through pure devotional service. In the course of trying to do that, a devotee may be subjected to the old habits and temptations, which may drag the devotee down to older habits. And he gives an example there. For example, one may become overly preoccupied with taking care of the child and ignoring one's bhajan and sadhana. Or one may sometimes become swayed by, fulfilling the material duties to wife, children, family, going for this, going for that. So far in material life, suddenly devotee looks back, oh, I have gone far away from Krishna. He feels. And then he comes back running again. So these kinds of mistakes happening in Grihastha Ashram are not at all uncommon. So there he gives very beautifully in the purport that a husband sometimes may regret that, my dear Lord, I have become submerged in illusion, forgetful of you. Because I am becoming forgetful of you, my problems are increasing and my illusion is increasing and my Krishna consciousness is drying up. So please pick me up again. So by this kind of fervent prayer, again the Lord picks up the devotee, like that Krishna says.
Yes, slightly modified. Sometimes Grihastha devotees, as you said, taking care of the children or wife. So they, whenever the schedule is available, they have to do some family duties or professional duties.
Correct.
But apart from that, whenever they get time,
correct,
they engage themselves in some seva or some hearing or like that.
Correct.
But then subtle desires are there and go for outing.
Correct.
And they do that also.
Yeah, correct.
Or do some shopping or purchase some big house or clothes like that.
Yeah, yeah. See, we try our best.
Water. Yeah. But desires are there.
Right? See, there are some desires which are not sinful, but which are distracting.
Yes.
Say, for example, students want to play cricket. One boy wants to go for practice of guitar. He wants to go for that. Another boy wants to play cricket or volleyball, football. He wants to go for that. Similarly, some boy is asking, is it all right if I go for some good movies? Can I also hear some good English songs, which don't have vulgar meaning and all that? Correct, no? There are some people who request like that. So these things are time consuming and distracting, although they are not sinful. Correct, no? So one should worry about sinful habits. One should give up. If the habits are sinful, one should abandon them completely. It's gray zone, yeah, gray zone. If gray zone activities are time consuming and they make us lose our valuable time, that means our rati has to be increased more. If rati is increased more, we may spend. And also for grihasthas, the standards that are given, as long as one is sticking to the foundational duties given by the spiritual master, sticking to them. Sometimes, just like if you see our Kardamuni is taking his wife to all the pleasure valleys and everywhere, all those places. Similarly, while there may be a need, either the husband or the wife or the children or the parents, they may have certain material needs, which the advanced son or daughter-in-law may have to accommodate in a family. Say, for example, if your father was here and he wants a TV, what will you do? You know, you will give him a room and give him TV also there. Please be there. Don't spoil Saurabh Prabhu. You may say and you'll give him, correct, no? In case he wants. He is my, you know, let my son be Krishna conscious and you can have your own TV. You provide him that facility. That's a material facility. Because of affection and respect for your father, he will provide it, correct, no? With all due respect to your father, I'm just giving an example. True. In the same manner, imagine son has some desire. He says, Papa, let's go for a European tour. So you take wife and son for a European tour. And the European tour, take the wife and son for some ISKCON temples also along with that. You can Krishnaize the material desires. Correct, no? And they may say, we'll go to ISKCON temple in the morning and evening we'll go to beach. Now we'll go to park. We'll go to museums. We'll go to see this, see that. Yes, no problem. So you get your part, they'll get their part. And that is also duty of a grihastha devotee. You know, if a man says, you know, what is European tour? It's all maya. Chant some extra rounds, sit at home, you know. Then you'll become unpopular, you know. Correct, no? Correct, no?
Yes. Because many times some devotees, you know, as you said, distract us.
Yeah.
They don't engage in distracting activities, but they don't engage in Krishna consciousness.
That means rati is not yet awakened. That is strong. Yeah, correct. Neutral kind of thing. That is true, yeah. Surely I will throw some more light on this next class when we meet. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.